It's a good day to praise the Lord. We heard it up here. We heard it in our greeting. Some of you felt it when you came in. There's donuts. There's children. There's parents. There's seniors. There's working class. There's those that are retired. Avalon is loaded with culture. And it's loaded with giftings and talent. And I see a couple of kids like that. You know, those nerds. Who knows who put them up to that? But they're going to make $1 million off that. And you guys, some of you all have hidden, amazing talents. You'll never make it on Shark Tank. But, you know, God's at work, and He wants to use what you have. And it's way bigger than talents for ice cream cones. It's life-changing. It's literally eternity-changing for some people. And today begins a journey for some of you. I'll get into this later, but quite honestly, this has got to be the most difficult message ever to put out there. It's just not received. It's not. There is a percentage, and I have no idea where the seed's going this morning, right? But there is a percentage of you that are going to listen to this from the Word of God, not from me, okay? But from what God's Word says, and take a moment and literally look at your life, your personality, your abilities, the things that literally go farther in your life because God has become a part. Now He's given you more, and you're going to change the world. You're going to change it as you see it, where you're at, with something that's doable. And I'll honestly tell you right now, this is not easy to do. It's not. But good morning to all of you. You've given it a shot. You made it here, right? And the World Cup just ended. Some of you guys are feeling it this morning, okay? My team lost a long time ago, so I'm over it. There's a lot happening in the world, way more than soccer. Hard for me to say that. I love soccer. There's a lot happening right now behind the dive park. There's issues right now with our fire department, things that they're dealing with. There's stuff in the inner parts of Silver Canyon, extremely dry conditions, high alert. There's people that are on watch. There's people here right now. You're on call. You're on standby. Literally, the switch never goes off for you. And you could get a call at any moment. You're heading outside. Life does not stop moving. Nothing is static. Everything is in flux. I realize that. But you made it here this morning. Both of us did. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about how you do something with your life. It's not a waste. For those of you guys who are on call, I don't think you waste any time. When you have a moment to go to church, you fight for it. When you have time with your family, you fight for it. When you have time for a little vacation, you get that boat ticket, you get over town, and you know that sand timer's going before the next boat comes home, and you milk it for all it's worth. You enjoy your time over town. I realize that. Let's make the most of our time this morning. God has a message for you, and it's about coming full circle. What I want to do is shatter the myth that you got to be a certain age or a certain look or a certain culture in order for God to do something great. In fact, God has given a history, a huge history of incredible things that happen all over the place of people of all ages. Last week I did an overview of this series, and we said to make a difference with your life, literally, God wants you to discover your gifting, not just your talent. I don't want you to get confused, okay? There are tons of talents. Everybody in this room has talent. I mean, it's all unique, sitting next to you on the row. Who knows how many different talents there are represented. That's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about gifts. It's over the top. I'm going to break that down as to what's the difference. Why is there one? We'll take the next few weeks and talk about each one of these. Today we're going to talk about finding what they are, opening them up, literally unpacking them and using them. So if you weren't here last week, here's just a quick synopsis to get you on the same foundation of where we're at. Last week was simple. Find out what your giftings are, open them, and use them. And if you have an outline today, a lot of people, we only had one left. There's one in the sound booth. And a pen. If you need a pen, I brought the pens in too. Matt, if you could flash those to maybe somebody on the back row, and they can help us pass those out. Reed or somebody can help us with that. Yeah, write these in. If you missed last week, I want to get you on the same foundation. And by the way, if you're listening online, welcome to the 10:30 service this morning. We're going to unpack some fun today. The second thing we mentioned was express that which you love. Express it, but it's got to come from the heart, okay? I've, in the past, had a chance to talk to some people in this town. Other times, I barely even got a word out. Sometimes, I got nothing out. My heart is there, and I haven't shown hatred. I haven't shown pain. I've felt some pain inside. But quite honestly, my heart is maybe the only thing I'm able to show. Maybe the only thing somebody will ever see. Quite honestly, there's just a bunch of misunderstanding. Your heart says a lot. Your heart can say an entire message without you even opening your mouth. So with giftings, not just willing, okay? A lot of people are willing to do something, but you're capable of doing something. You're actually able to do what your gifting really is. Determine your abilities that influence with impact. What are my abilities? It's not just because a pastor came up and said, hey, I think you would be good at whatever it is. No. You have seen evidence of that in your life. You're like, I feel pretty confident in this area. I got this. The next one is this. Does this jive with who I am? In other words, can I take great pleasure in my personality? It's unique. It's important. Every single person in here is different. I used to think it's all about extroverts. You know, I just surround myself by them until I married an introvert. And I realized I'm not the only one walking on the planet. And introverts, extroverts, everybody God has got in his kingdom. And everybody is necessary. Amen? Everybody. No matter what your personality, I can accept that. And with great pleasure, guess what? It's unique. It's important. I'm going to do something with it. And the last one. And this one could be the most difficult to accept. But my past adventures matter. They matter. Do you depend on God to use your experiences, both positive and negative? And last week, there was some hardcore stuff that was said. And you can listen to that message online, but talking about past experiences, not letting go. There is no waste in God's economy. Amen? That's what we talked about. None. It's a powerful message. A hurt will never be wasted. Here's an image that I leave with you this morning. I have a team that I have the privilege of paddling with. It's very difficult at times, and it's not because it's about paddling. It's not because we're out of time or out of rhythm. We can fix that. Sometimes it's the personalities in the boat. Sometimes it's high drama. Sometimes it's somebody just had a bad day and they brought it into the boat with them, you know? And that's enough to throw your team off. This image right here is our women's team crossing the channel last year. And it's a difficult point in the race. It's the nine-man season. We just crossed over as of July 4th, and we move into nine people. Six are in a boat. Three go out, three go in. Three go out, three go in. I mean, you literally spring out of the boat, and three spring up on the inside where the yaku is, that piece that comes off to the side. And you can see the three waiting and one jumping out right there. Gina's in this group here. That's our crossing. And the men have done the same. We have co-ed groups that go out. No matter what, there are both positive and negative experiences until what happens? You cross the finish line. You have no idea how you finished. Sometimes the boat hoolies or flips, several times in my boat, and you end up in third place or second place where you thought you were going to be dead last. The experiences come together. The attitudes come together. The spills, the thrills, the someone got injured getting out, the puking on the boat, all of it. It comes together. And at the end, you stand there and you look at it and you're like, what was that all about, man? I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And you look back and you say, a hurt will never be wasted. This difficulty will never be wasted. I want to push through church. Here's my great friend John in the front row. We pushed through much together. Much. Much. Spiritually. We've seen attacks all over the place. Guess what? We have a long way to go. But we stop every now and then and it's like a little celebration. God's got us working together. He's got a team for you. I don't know what it looks like. Maybe you've already got your team assembled. But they're people with like passions and abilities and talents. The big picture overview. Basically what we're going to do is just take a week looking at each one of these. And here's the thesis of the whole thing. This thesis is saying this. You got to make a choice. You can sit on your can, sit in the stands, and observe. Or you're going to get out of the stands on the playing field and make a difference with your life. I have a young lady that wants to play on our soccer team really, really bad. And I can't go into names or no real detail in the story, but what I can say is parents are scared to death of the game of soccer. There's been some serious injury from other sports with a sibling. And as a result, they're nervous about this sibling joining a very, very high contact sport, pulling it out. And this kid is like, I am doing this. I mean, literally sneaking out of the house, coming up to practices, doing some things. Parents are like, I'm not okay with that. And so as a coach, I got to back up the parents. I mean, I got to support them. They're in charge ultimately. And I'm in charge of my team, but I'm not a parent. And it's hard because I'm seeing this struggle inside. But I see this kid going, I want off the bench. I want out of my room. No fear. I just want to get out there and do this. And it's exploiting a few things. And in this town, there's larger issues that bring fear. Way bigger. Some have to do with, how am I going to pay my rent this month? Or my wife and I aren't getting along real well, and as a result, we're separated or we're this close to it. I went off the bench. I want to get back in parenting. I want to get back in what it takes to really create a healthy marriage. What do I need to get off the bench? What do I need to get out of the stands and get back into life? And this morning, quite honestly, will sound a lot like a coach talking. These verses are coming from Paul, and I think he's coaching this morning. There's a possibility I'm going to lose many of you. This whole series is this way. This one is a tough one. Very few will actually be motivated enough at the end of this to actually do something significant. As a matter of fact, I'll just go this far to say, if you do something with your life, you do take time to be reflective of where you're at, how God shaped you, you're going to be in a minority. Seriously. The world says, hey, just hang out. I mean, come on. You're on Catalina, island time, excess baggage here. When you're a certain age of an adult, how about a young adult, when you have it all together? How about this? You have a family. Your family's not complete, so you don't have it all together. Or how about this? You don't have a six-figure salary. How about this one from the world? You'll always rent and never be a homeowner. Where's that pressure coming from? Inside, I look at this and say, where is God stirring to say, don't let the world send messages to you? Where God turns around, he says, I care about you. I have something that's gifted inside you. I've given you a blessing of this family right here. This is precious. This is your six-figure salary. This is what I have for you. And I turn around and I see very few of you will hear what God has to say is priority this morning. And you'll fight it all the way to the end because the world's message is strong. Now, there's nothing wrong with renting. There's nothing wrong with owning. There's nothing wrong with a six-figure salary. There's nothing wrong with some of these priorities. None of that. But when things get out of whack and out of line, which we're looking at today in great detail, you will see where there's something that's just out of balance. God ends up out of place in all of it instead of in place and putting in place. It's overwhelming. But when you get a glimpse of who you're created to be, you can actually help your children. They look at you as a parent and go, I've got to listen. I love what my mom has become. I want this from my coach. I want this from my employer. Man, there's no greater gift. You'll be in a minority, though. If you want to make a difference with your life, it's cutting against the grain. Challenge yourself. Don't believe the lie that you can't make a difference in this world and in your family. It's bull. And today we talk about this first part of coming full circle. Here's why I say full circle. I believe before you were born, as we looked at in Scripture last week, God had given you these abilities. And as we are born, some of us reject God, but we come back into the context of Him through whatever process, whatever adventure, whatever life experiences are there, and we come back to those things that He created us to be. We have an opportunity. And it could be here this morning where you're sitting. Full circle, you come back to who He has originally designed you to be. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? A lot of you guys are nodding your heads this morning. That's exactly right. That's why it's called full circle. When you hear the word gift, many times people go, oh, I get gifts all the time. I love gifts. A lot of times we give a gift or we receive one and we don't use it. We have gifts we've never used at all, like that sweater that you got from your grandma, all right? Something that was a gift, but you don't use it, especially in Catalina. When I was a kid, my favorite gift, I think I was around 10 years old, was an electronic football game. I had a very long bus ride, and I got this thing. Basketball came next, soccer. We're going back to the 70s here, okay? It wasn't like the ones you see in the arcades. Actually, there were no arcades, not in my area. And anyone remember this game at all? Anybody remember this game at all? Yes, okay. Lots of you. Basketball, football, the advanced version. Remember this? And then soccer came, head-to-head. You had to actually hold it with your friend. Okay, anyway. All right, so now before this, this was our game that we played at my friend's house because his dad had a lot of money and he bought Pong. Woo! Any Pongers? Hey, that was it, man. Pong was it. You just had this little thing. You spun it, and it was doot, doot, doot. Yeah, Pong. Okay, but anyway, nowadays, you step on a mushroom, and a dragon comes out. You shoot things, heads fly off. We just had Pong. And this electronic game was great. I had a long bus ride, a few friends. There were two of us that went the full 2 hours and 30 minutes one way on a bus ride. Similar to what it'd be like going to the end of the island, I guess, if you lived in Two Harbors and just did that long bus ride during the wintertime. And we'd play this thing till the batteries ran out. Originally, they had C's in certain things. We didn't have C batteries. We couldn't go buy double A's and C's. We got the game when they burned out or when we learned all the moves, right? And just sit here. Oh, deep, 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 deep. I didn't even look anymore. Touchdown, touchdown. You know, I learned the moves. The game was obsolete. It found its way on the side. And, you know, with a lot of gifts, we get excited. I'm fired up, man. And then 2 weeks later, or 2 months later, it's on the side. And I'm not talking about a two-month gift. Hear me? I'm not talking about a 30-day gift, 30-minute gift. I'm talking about something that you are darn good at. Nobody can do what you do. It's a lifelong gift to be used, to open, discover. He loves you so much that he gave you a spiritual gift to make a difference in this world. You step up to the plate and you say, I think I've got something here. Recently, I was in the hospital visiting Carson, a young man in our congregation, and he had some complications here that spilled over into the mainland. And I went over there, and in this hospital, I walked through wing after wing trying to find this kid. They kept moving him around. And I walked past a lot of elderly folks, 80s and 90s, basically at the end of their life. And then I walked into Carson's room, and there's his girlfriend sitting in there. He's just telling a bunch of stupid jokes, you know, eating Jell-O and a Domino's pizza. And we're laughing. Virtually, I stood there and thought, here are all these people at the end of their life, and here's this kid, in essence, at the beginning of his life, on the same wing in this hospital. And I wish I could fast forward to the many, many students that I coach or that come to FCA and I get to see them and just say, what are you doing with your life? Let me fast forward and show you what it's going to look like 55, 65 years from where you're at right now. I can't do that with a kid. I'd give anything. You know, I'd do anything. Say, hey, Carson, we could get you going, man. We got to get this right. Doctors, let me show you where it looks like two rooms down. This is where you're headed. This week, I understood of someone taking something from a family that was a struggling family only to provide for another struggling family. And that's not how it works, okay? I couldn't believe what I read. And I've been to lots of countries. I remember in Guatemala, right after Pastores and Antigua and Guatemala, Hocotenango, all these gigantic volcanoes just emptied water down, not lava, but a hurricane sat on top of them and just churned. And all this water came in and flooded the villages. And we had poor people that lived midway up the volcano putting all the clothing and rice together in bags to give to the poor people that lived on the other volcano and to provide for them. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I've never seen anything like it. Those are the pictures that I made. But I never heard of struggling family stealing from struggling family and calling that a win-win. It's like, how many wrongs does it take to make a right? And this week it was hard to see. I want to show you a video here, and this is a hard video, but It's from one of my favorite artists. I play him a lot during the service here because he speaks truth. I want you to see the story here of two men that both followed the same track. One was caught, one was not. But then he was caught ultimately later on in his heart. This is Lecrae, and the title of our message today called Don't Waste Your Life.
Let's go. Don't waste your life, man. I know a lot of people that are scared to go die. Covered up, I'm thinking of living in the sky. While I'm here living, man, I gotta ask why. What am I here for? I gotta figure out. Waste my life, no, I gotta make it count. If Christ is real, then what am I gonna do about? Every day in Luke 12, 15, out of 21, you really gotta go and check it out. Paul said, if Christ ain't resurrected, we wasted our lives. But that implies that our life's built around Jesus being alive. Well, I'm trying to show the world why. Christ is more than everything he'll ever try. And all the pretty women are sitting and living to get a minute of any women, a minute you admire. It ain't no lie, we created for. Out of the dust, he made us for. Alexa said he saved us for. Jesus comes and he raised us for. Magnify the Father, our Father was something lesser. He made us so we could bless him. Bless him. The world we could bless him, resurrect him. So I know I got life. Matter of fact, better man, I know I got Christ. You don't see his ways in my days and my nights. You can hit my brakes, you will stop my life. Then I lost my rights, lost my life. Forget the money, call the toss that ice. The cost is Christ. They can never offer me anything on the planet but the cost that price. For Christ, you trying to figure out what to do with your life. You make a lot of money, hope you're doing it right. Because the money is God, you better steward it right and stay focused. You ain't got no ride, your life ain't wrapped up in what you drive. The clothes you wear, the job you work, the color of your skin, I'll be Christian first. People get to living for a job, make a little money, start living for a car. Get on my wife, a house, kids, and a dog. When you retire, they're living high on the hog. But guess what, they didn't ever really live it all. To live is Christ, and that's all I recall. To die is gain, so for Christ we give it all. The treasure you never find in the vault. Your money, your singleness, marriage, talent, your time. They were lonely, you to show the world that Christ is divine. That's why it's Christ in my rhyme. That's why it's Christ all the time. See, my whole world is built around him. He's the life of my life. I refuse to waste my life. He's too true to chase that ice. Here's my gift of time, cause I'm constantly trying to be used to praise the Christ. If he's truly raised to life, then this news should change your life. If I just break, you can put your faith in a place that rules your days and nights. Yes!
Your God-given abilities. Don't waste things that belong to God ultimately and steal. Protect your heart. God has shaped you. You can make a difference in this world without wasting your time and stealing from someone else. No one wakes up in the morning and thinks, I hope my life really sucks. Nobody wakes up like that. Intuitively, instinctively, internally, we hope that we're going to do something with our life. And you don't got to steal for it. You don't got to take something that belongs to someone else. Ultimately, it all belongs to God. Amen? Hard video, but true. Lecrae's trying to say this, man. It's Christ here. It's Christ here. It's Christ here. It's in my rhyme. This is what I'm trying to say. So he sends this message to another guy going, I know what you know. We're both thieves, bro. But I found the answer. I found the answer. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. Great verse. I want you to know what the spiritual gifts are. I'm saying the same thing as one of your pastors this morning. I want you to know what the gifts are. Some of you in here, maybe it's the first time you've ever been here. You're just seeking. You're checking this thing out. You're checking church out. You got a VBS coming up this week. And you're like, hey, there's air conditioning. I'm going. And VBS is right around the corner, coming up in August. I'll get my kids signed up for that. And you're checking the church out. You're just looking. But on the outskirts, God's not, there's no connection. But you're looking. And I'm thankful that you're here. And maybe the message today will leave some clues as to who God is. Some of you aren't seekers, though. You're going nuts. Jesus has meant something to you. He's turned your world upside down, and you're sold out. You've been a Christian for a while. And I look out and see some of you, you've grown up in the church. But here's where it goes. Here's where it goes. And this was me. All of a sudden, you walk up to a pastor, and you just go, you know, I'm just not growing anymore. I've been coming here a long time. For some reason, I just, you know, it's just not turning my crank. And I thought I knew when Jesus was coming back. You know, I've invited him to my birthday party. I've had all this stuff going on. But you know what? I'm bored with my faith now. I'm bored. I don't even want to attend some of these functions that the church has going on. These small groups, they're boring. I sat through the women's group. Lame. I sat through the guys' group. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm just bored. Some say I'm just not growing. And they think it's my fault as the teacher or the preacher or, God forbid, the small group leader's fault, the volunteer. No, it's not. It's your fault. If you're not growing, it's your fault. You need to be serving. In fact, here's the deal. You're not going to grow until you get out there and serve. Your gifts and your abilities are stimulated when you get off your can. And when you get out of the arena, the bleachers, the stands. We're talking about spiritual gifts today. And it's not the staff's fault if you're bored with your faith. You're sitting. You're overworked. You're tired. Jesus says, bring it to me. Spiritual gifts is the toughest thing of this whole series. I mean, 80% of adults that hear this message in America, pastors that are good friends of mine, young pastors, they say, people just aren't getting it, and we're just not going to teach on it. It's just not, it doesn't fly. They don't grab it. 80%. Why would young adults be any different? And my response is this. In fact, with young adults, some of them are smarter than many adults, and they can make a difference. They can turn around. For those of you who are searching, you're approaching different stages of your life, don't put yourself in a statistic this morning. Watch out for those statistics. You can change the world. Your family may have had some trauma to it. Guess what? God says there's no waste in my economy. I can use that. On the tapestry of your life, it fits right here. It's not your whole life. It's an event. And I will show you the bigger picture. I will show you where it fits. I've been with you the whole time. I've never left you. And guess what? It's time for you to see this and use this for my glory. Somebody needs to hear your story this morning. So we're going to do a little investing. A lot of investing. And we're going to look deeper into some things. Talk about the who, the what, the where, the when. Let's dig into these spiritual gifts. Hardest thing to receive is the first one. Here it is. Who gets them? Anyone want to throw one out at me? Who gets spiritual gifts? Believers. Yeah, good. Those that have a relationship with God. Christians who have a relationship get spiritual gifts. Now, what about non-Christians? What about them? Can they discover their shape? Can they discover talents? Absolutely. Talents all over the place. They just don't have spiritual gifts. They have everything else. They have heart. They have abilities. They have personality. They have tons of experiences. They just don't have spiritual gifts. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Okay? If you're not connected to God, then what would a spiritual gift be good for anyway? What would it be used for? Right? 1 Corinthians 2. Here's where I come from with this. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. Why? There's no capacity for it. None. If you've been to AC and you heard me speak, you know that I totally respect seekers. Totally. Okay? People are checking this God stuff out. They're looking at this. I respect you 100%. Okay? It would be natural for you to blow this off right now and say, I just don't understand this. I don't get it. You're talking about talents, and then you're throwing the word giftings in there. I heard shape. I'm a little confused. So for someone who literally has a relationship with God, you've moved past seeker to say, I want him in my life. I want him literally as my father. And I know him and he knows me. There is a gift that he gives you on top of your relationship. Does that make sense? All right, we're on the same page. It's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. But if you're not in connection with him, you have no capacity. I remember flying back from Vietnam. We went through Air China in a mission trip. And Air China is not known for a lot of extended seats to sit in or room. And we actually saw people smoking on the plane, which I thought was interesting too. And I remember trying to put my overhead compartment stuff. I had soccer balls and I had cleats and junk in there. And I was trying to stuff it all in this compartment, and it just would not fly. And I remember everybody was standing there in a line staring at me as I'm pulling out underwear, cleats, shirts, you know, whatever, and I'm just throwing it in my seats. My bag will go in there. It was embarrassing. You say, why do you say that? Because really that's what the unspiritual life is like. You've got so much stuff crammed in your life, literally, there's no capacity for God's gifts for you. It's all about you. And you got to unload you. Really, the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is a big word. Coaches that are in the sound of my voice here, you know this word. Commitment. Otherwise, they don't look different. Christians don't have little halos going around, okay? They don't have better facial features. They've just made a commitment. They've said, I'm going to turn my back to the world's way. I'm going to say yes to God's way. I'm going to unzip my life and empty out all that junk that I thought was important. And I'm going to say, God, fill me up. I'm sick of me. I want you in me. I used to be the Lord of my own life. I'm going to unzip and dump this old out. And the Bible says, great verse, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now you have a capacity for spiritual gifts. Now we're on the same page. I hope that makes sense to you. If you said yes to God, let me say this to you. You got gifts. Okay? You have spiritual gifts. What? Okay? What are the gifts? There's many. There's many. And I can tell from some of the body language in here that some people are checking out already. The phone's taking over and other stuff. Focus here. What are the spiritual gifts? Romans 12 is loaded. 1 Corinthians 12 is loaded. Ephesians 4. 1 Peter 4. What are the spiritual gifts? Here's a list of some. Wise counsel. Wise counsel. There's just a spiritual gift of wisdom. You know who these people are. You knock on their door or you run into them in Vons and all of a sudden you just push the card away. It's like, do you got a second? I got a burning question I want to ask you. There's just wisdom. You might talk to four people and ask them the same question and advice. And if you get somebody who has a spiritual gift of wisdom, you feel this unusual insight. You gravitate towards the one out of four. I talked to a guy this week. He said, Andrew, ever since I can remember, you've told me that. And that I actually have an unusual insight at a very young age. This is a young man in our community, and he's on our paddle team. And I love being around this kid. In fact, when I talk to him, even his jokes and spiritual gift of sarcasm has a natural wit to it. He's very comfortable, but his insight is always ahead. He's thinking. He's thinking outside the issue. That's not from him, okay? And it's not from paddling, all right? That is from someone way bigger that created him to think that way. And this kid's going to turn the world upside down, guarantee you, okay? Just an unusual amount of something here, okay? Clear understanding, knowledge, and faith. Some of you might be saying, hey, Andrew, I've got faith. Everybody has that. Every Christian in this room has an element of faith. I'm talking about a spiritual gift of faith that's over the top, where you'll fly to China and be a missionary. You'll walk through fire. You know, these are just, it's just over the top faith, unusual amount of faith, greater than what most people have. How about healing the sick? Miraculous acts, prophecy, distinguishing between good and evil, spirits, and tongues. What are the spiritual gifts of tongues? Is that like kissing? Or
What is that? You know, maybe that's new for you. Okay, this is a confusing one. But if you watch TV, go to somewhere in the channel 30s or something, you'll hear people talking in a language, and it makes no sense. Tongues is a prayer language, a language that God understands. It's confusing, and you can't understand it. But there are people who have that spiritual gift. Okay, interpretation of tongues. They can actually interpret that. It's another one. You don't know what they're saying because he's got this gift here, but someone else can hear that. I grew up in a church that, and all my brothers would say the same thing. It was the most boring church on the planet. It just was. One of the reasons, you know, we do cool videos here and dramas and our music is here and we got programs busting out teenagers down below and there's VBS. One of the reasons is, man, I think laughter and church, I want it to be fun. I didn't have that in where I was at. Not the one I last worked in, but the one I grew up in, okay? I thought no one should go through something like this, and man, there's this guy, had a deep voice, and he stood over us and sounded like he had a steeple stuck in his throat, and he was just yelling at the pulpit, and, you know, I was wondering, Dad, you know, why does this guy keep talking about lettuce pray? And it's, you know, lettuce spray, like it's something for the vegetables. He's saying, let us pray, all these big words. And as a kid, I didn't connect. I didn't have someone in my children's wing that connected with me. My teenage wing, it took a little while, and then I ran into a couple of guys, and life started changing when we found a church that got us moving as a family, or something for everybody. Okay? But I remember, I wasn't laughing. And I, you know, if I did, it was because somebody fell asleep in the pew. You know, I was scared. I was scared in church. My behavior might blow it. I might get pinched by my mom. Or if I didn't go, you know, I was in trouble for not going. So from there, at age 16, a buddy invited me to Suncoast Cathedral. I'd never been to a church like that. That was huge. There it is. I'd never set foot in a place like that. Josh, you remember that church in St. Pete there? Intercoastal beaches of Clearwater and St. Pete and Pinellas Park. The place was packed. And I saw these people, all these supernatural gifts, man. I freaked out. I did. There was a gift of prophecy going on, tongues, interpret. My first, you know, chapel, when somebody said, let's pray, I just bowed my head. You know, that's what we do. Just put my head down. Everybody around, though, when somebody said that, they started speaking. The whole church. I mean, I didn't understand what they were saying. Their hands in the air. I was like, whoa. That scared me. I was spooked. I thought, what have I gotten myself into? They're speaking in tongues. And guess what? I don't have that spiritual gift. People would ask, and I would pretend I did. You know, I'd say something like, gotta ride a Honda real fast. And gotta ride a Honda real. I didn't have that. Three of my friends, we all tried it. We didn't have it. We didn't even understand it. We sat there and watched his parents do that, and people that we dated. It's a prayer language. And a gentleman that was on our row, that we were sitting on, a row of chairs, when we were done, he said, hey, you guys come over here for a minute. Where are you all from? I said, I go to this school. My buddy Scott invited me. He goes, I'm really glad you're here. Let me explain what was going on here. I don't want you feeling like there's a show happening here, and I don't want you disrespecting what's happening here as a teenager. I want you to understand there's a language being spoken here. And the first time I'd ever heard someone talk about it in a respectful way, that there is something that God understands that when people have this gift, they use, and he explained it to me. I didn't fully understand it, but I got glimpses of it as he took the time to explain that to me. And it's a prayer language. The Bible says to pray for that. It's a prayer language that's only between that person and God. And some other gifts, the interpretation of tongues. The gift of apostles, teachers, miracle workers, helpers. Leadership is a spiritual gift. Evangelism, pastor, hospitality. Hospitality is someone that would open their home and make people feel comfortable. Last week I had a gift come to my door. Totally unexpected, 9:30 at night. A few of us guys were watching a movie. And two wild men showed up I haven't seen in a long time that moved to San Diego. One of them's a Navy SEAL and the other's getting married next Saturday. Brandon Zeke and Reed Richter showed up on my doorstep, and we're talking, and we're just goofing around. It was great. I didn't know where they were spending the night, which ended up being CBS or going back to Campus by the Sea. But at first, I'm just thinking, why don't you just flock here? Why don't you just flop here? My personality. Hey, there's a couch. There's some floor. Here's a blanket. You know, you're good. You know, but if I'd have said that to my wife, guess what? When you come over, there's all these guys here. This is what's going on. Maybe a little different response. All right. Welcome to our table. There's the door. You're finished. You know, she's not that bad. But I'm just saying, with all these guys laying here, I have this personality, and she may have a different personality. I'm that way. We're wired differently. There are many, many types of spiritual gifts. You've got to discover what they are. Where? Now, where do they come from? Great verse right here. 1 Corinthians 12. All these gifts have a common origin. They are handed out one by one by the Spirit of God. Catch that? Okay, for those of you that are paying attention right now. One by one, they are handed out by the Spirit of God. He doesn't blow this thing up with his, you know, spirit grenade that goes out to Southern California. That's not how this works. It is one by one. It's personal, okay? It's not like this huge spiritual gift of teaching grenade is hit all over the place and everybody's going to be a teacher, okay? No, it's not that way in the Midwest. It's not that way in the East Coast. Listen to me. It's personal. 1 Peter 4 says, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. He takes a look at you. He looks to see what you're made of. And he says, this is my gift for you. My dad traveled quite a bit. And he worked for a company called IBM. My mom told me later on that stood for I Be Movin'. Never was around. And when he come home from a trip, every kid says the same thing to your dad when he comes home from a trip. What'd you bring me? Right? And it was always some cheesy salted peanuts or whatever. I'm like, oh, brother, right? And I've vowed, man, when I have kids someday and I come back from a trip, forget this. I'm going all. Now, when they're little, I could do with M&Ms and a Snickers bar from a CVS or a Walgreens. But as my kids get older, Grace, you know, right? It's like, what'd you bring me? They're teenagers. It needed something a little bit better. As we hit boot camps, John knows, and we go to boot camps, I'd look for a T-shirt that has the Rocky Mountains on it, or a hat specifically hot pink that Madison would want. Or, you know, it's a guy thing, so it's got this rustic, nasty look, and there's a chunk of the hat missing, you know? It was a personalized gift for my kid. Whatever their personality was, it was just for them, a gift of love. It's personal. This week, I dropped my daughter off at work. I haven't had the privilege of doing that very much. She usually walks or somebody else takes her up the canyon there. She's our youngest, and I don't get to drop her off as much. This week was different, and I looked through the Machado Gate, and I looked through there, and I saw her sitting there as it's a summer camp thing, and I just thought to myself, man, I don't care about all these other kids. That's my kid. As far as I'm concerned, they all look like farm animals. There's my beauty queen. That's her. And she's my last. And she's a senior. And then I drove out of that entrance going, God, I love my kids so much. But my earthly love is finite. No matter how much I love her and the rest of them, nowhere near what the Heavenly Father, who designed her, loves her. Nowhere near. And as much as I have it for them, it's limited love. And God's love for you and for me is infinite. It's infinite. So when he talks about gifts, it's out of the sphere of thinking that God looks at you and he has a design for you. And this is your gift. No one else around you right now can do like this and look like this and be like this. It's your gift. And this is what I'm giving to you. And then we say, why? You discover that you have it. And this is simple. To help the body grow. Okay? Reed and Janaea, besides the fact that they're about to get married and they're very close and they're engaged, way before that time, they had a personality that worked. When I ran into them, I'm like, wow, it's very warm, very welcoming. There's a strong leadership about them, but a personality about them. They definitely don't mind being a part of our welcome and greeting team, but from the aspect of the stage. There's different elements. People like to greet by the door. Some like to greet where you're sitting. They lean over and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Others are very upfront. They just feel comfortable with that. That's not from me. We're here to equip the saints and help train. But God's given you that, you know, that oomph inside that says, I could do this. That's where it comes from. It's personal. And on top of that, it helps the body grow. The body. In quotes, because the body means the church. And when you read about the body, it's not referring to a physical body. It's referring to the church, God's people, not a building. Don't care about these walls, okay? They may not stand another 100 years. This church will. Amen? It will. And it doesn't matter about the building. So this is just a tent. We could burn this down tomorrow. The church will go on. The church is everybody out here who has a relationship with God. 1 Peter 4, use your gifts to serve each other. That's not from me. You know, if you're blowing this off, this is from God. Use them to serve each other. When you serve, you help. 1 Corinthians 12, each person's given something to do to show who God is. It's like holding up a mirror to God. Okay? Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. What a great verse. You do not have spiritual gifts that make you more of a mature Christian. Catch that? When you know what your spiritual gifts are and you use them, you will be a more mature Christian. But spiritual gifts are not to make you more of a mature Christian. Your spiritual gifts are to build up the body. That's what they're for. So when you don't use your gifts, two parts of the body miss out. First person that misses out in the body is you. Okay? You just miss out. God's blessing, God's hand on your life, you missed out. I don't want you to miss out. When I was in high school, I became a Christian in my senior high year. My freshman year, basically I was just screwing around. I had some giftings, but I wasn't using them. My sophomore year, I had a good friend of mine that invited me to his program. That's Suncoast Cathedral Church I was telling you about. And I was just checking that whole thing out. My junior year, I started getting scared because now it's going to be my senior year. My junior year, I just kind of, you know, took my APs and was focusing in on a whole nother life that I had to fix. And then I panicked because I couldn't fix it. And my senior year, I was invited to know Jesus by my buddy Scott, who invited me to his church and then led me to Jesus on an island. Very small island, barely as big as this property. Led me to Jesus. And I remember this. And I found out some stuff that day through Scott that made sense to me. It was God's gift to me. My buddy Scott, whose life was hell at home. Mother was a prostitute. Kid did his own everything. Paid for his own car, his own taxes, his own laundry and grocery shop. Kid's 15 to 17 years old doing life on his own. Hard life. That kid encouraged me. Valedictorian, by the way. That kid turned around and turned my life upside down for Jesus. His faith was in something rooted way bigger than control. He gave control up. Scott was the real deal. I wanted what he had. I didn't want to be Scott. I just wanted what he had. And he had gifts. The second thing that's missing if you don't use your spiritual gift is, and this is big, this is huge, others miss out. Others miss out. Not just you, not just me, but others. If you don't use your gift, you'll never discover, you'll never open it, never use it. Miss out on God's blessings, but others. This week I got a very sweet text. There was no name attached to it. It was just a long number. It was a 310 number, but it was a long number. It just said, an encouraging student said, "Hey, Hobbs, just want to thank you for your messages. This message that you just gave recently was very helpful. It keeps me paying attention. It made me think a lot about my life. The amount of work that you do in the community is crazy. And just know I appreciate it, and so do my buddies. Thanks for doing all you do. Have an awesome day." Okay? Maybe something I said last week triggered it to him. He was saying, "Andrew, your using of your spiritual gifts of preaching helped me." Then what did he do? He used his gift of encouragement. They may have had the gift of encouragement, and they grabbed the phone, and they text me. Are you tracking with me? Okay. And what happened? God blessed him, but when I read it, I was blessed. Now, are you tracking with me? Okay. Many people here in Avalon, I'm not asking, but I don't get many encouraging messages encouraging me, maybe once in a while. But when I got this, it's a rare thing. It was nice. Sometimes people say nice things to me. This person actually took the time to write it down, and it was a guy, which is even more unusual. Watch the track here. I use my gift of teaching. When I teach, God blessed me, and they were a listener. They got blessed. It made sense to them. They used their gift of encouragement. God blessed them when they did that. I read it. And I got blessed by it. My gosh, do you see what's going on here? This was worth it. It was worth reading. It was worth the text. And when you don't use it, you miss out. And other people miss out too. And when is kind of the follow-up to all of it. So when do I do it? Like, is it compulsive? When do I do this? What do I do with it? You find out about your spiritual gifts. Here it is. Through doing ministry. You just walk in the door and say, I need to be plugged in. What do I need to do? Help me with my giftings. Help me find my shape. Let's do this. You're not going to discover gifts by sitting in this pew. No matter how hard you pray, nothing is going to just be delivered to your mirror while you're shaving with this message on it. You're not going to just see this on your fridge magnet. You know, you've got to get out there. And you don't find this by sitting around, okay? And you got to get out there and you got to get involved. You're actually going to get probably burned. You may not be in the right one right off the bat, the right serving group right now. And that alone itself will bonk. And you'll be like, this isn't what I'm supposed to do. That's okay. Okay? It's easier to discover your gifts through doing ministry than to discover your ministry through your spiritual gift. Rick Warren, you got to do it. When you go out and do things, then you discover your ministry. I love soccer, and I watch it all the time. But if I sat there watching this game, I think you're tracking with me here, and I wanted to know what position I would play, I wouldn't do that from the bleachers, okay? I wouldn't know from the bleachers that as a striker, a forward, you've got to have speed. You've got to have touch. You've got to have feel. You've got to have finish. I wouldn't know that as a midfielder. I'm going to get slide tackled. I'm going to get hit. I'm going to have the wind knocked out of me. I may have 1,000 concussions. I wouldn't know as a defender that my man is essential at all times, wherever they're at. I wouldn't know that this person anywhere in my area needs to be forced out of my area, out of the box. Or I wouldn't know to force them to their weaker leg to dribble. I wouldn't know any of that from the bleachers. I've got to get in the game. I've got to experience it. Some of the best coaches I know are former players. So some of us have been coming to church a long time. And you're like, Andrew, feed me. Feed me. Feed me. I want to start by doing. Come on up here. Guys, give it up for Brenda Miller this morning. Hey. How are you? Good morning. Does this work?
Check.
Yeah, cool. Guys, Brenda's getting baptized today at 12:30.
Yeah.
Woo! You're invited. I ran into her at a family dinner night. She showed up at the house with Mason, and we got acquainted. She was trying to have a meal. Mason was going nuts on the Legos, and you know how it is as a single mom. And I barely got any of her story. I got a little bit of it. And over a couple of family dinners, her story started to come out more and more. So without me talking anymore, introduce yourself and definitely your island history here, and we'll show some photos behind you.
Okay. So my name's Brenda Miller. Whoa. I grew up here on the island. I went through everything. The same preschool my son went to, I went to. Same teacher. I grew up here with all through high school. I struggled a bit in high school. Kind of went south. And then through recovery after high school, after moving, after my dad passed and everything, I decided I needed recovery. And that's kind of where my walk with God started. I went to a Christian recovery center. And I knew who God was at that time, but I didn't have a relationship with him. And it's crazy because, like, looking back now, I remember sitting on the rocks with Rhonda, who I begged to be my sponsor. I sat there, and I was looking at her, and I was like, I just want faith. I just want it. And I didn't know what it was. And I started to go to church, but then I didn't feel like it was for me. So I went off again, did my own thing, and then after I had Mason, I started going to church on the mainland, and my friend, Asia, who just has completely been changed by God, invited me to her church. So I went with her, and that's when I started to really build my relationship with God. And through all the things that I have gone through now, just being a single mother and moving here, I really feel like I couldn't have done that without having the relationship that I have now with God. And I feel like I always thought that I wanted to do those things, but I didn't have the strength within me. And I thought that I could do it on my own, but I can't do all those things on my own. I need God. And even now, with some of the things that I have been going through, it's just given me a different look at all of the things that I have gone through. My story isn't only for me. It's to share with everyone else, to help others. And I feel like that has been my gift. And not only that, I mean, just I feel like I love to talk to other people and I love to share with them. And if I see them struggling, I want to help them as much as I can, especially if it's something that I have gone through personally, whether it's been drugs or becoming a single mother or struggling here in a small island and feeling alone. Those are all things that I have gone through. And I feel like if I see somebody else going through those things, I am equipped to help them because I have gone through those things, rather than feeling like listening to the enemy, because it's really easy to listen, especially when he was naming off the gifts, the gift of wisdom. I feel like that's something that people have come to me for, and when I heard that, I was like, no, you don't have that. That's not you. But there is a lot of gifts that we have inside of ourselves, and just not to listen to that voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just awesome. No, still here. Okay. So what do you do now here on the island?
So now I work at a hotel. I'm a mom, mostly full-time mom. I work a little bit when my son's in school. But I volunteer. Well, I started working with Kathleen. She does events, weddings, and things like that. And I've really seen a change in myself just by doing those things. I mean, obviously, I'm sober now, so it's a lot easier to show up. And then also just I have a reason to do those things. And just, like, the impression that I get from other people, it's insane. Like, I used to manage a restaurant on the mainland, and I'd be so fake. Like, I would show up, and I would do it, and I would help people, but I didn't want to do it. And I would, like, give people things and walk away like, oh, like they asked me for this or they asked me for that. But now, like, I feel so different. Like, when I go to these weddings, like, yeah, there's crazy things going on at weddings. But I'm there and I show up and I help these people. And they're always saying, like, oh, you do so good. You always have a smile on. And I'm like, well, isn't everybody smiling? Like, shouldn't you? You're serving. Like, but that's just how it is. I feel like God's just working through me in so many amazing ways. That I feel like I played down in the beginning, but I feel like over the time, just by one thing that really showed me my walk with God was when I went to the mainland with my friend to this course. It was just to discover yourself through Christ, and it's called Encounter. And I feel like it really showed me that through my walk with God, I've been kind of like one foot in, one foot out. Like, here I am, but kind of. And just helped me really push through that relationship and realize that I need him. And not only do I need him, I want him. And seeing everybody there so young and on fire about God just really, like, made me more hungry for God. Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Now, real quick.
Yeah.
Baptism's today,
12:30? Yes, 12:30 behind the Wrigley Stage.
Yes. So if you guys can come, right after the service, come on down. There's Mason. Mason. So
oh, yeah.
Tell us about Mason real quick. What do we need to know about Mason?
Mason has a lot of energy, and he loves, it's funny, he is like me with people times 10, times a million. He loves to just, he's made me come out of my box more, especially because I feel like every time we've gone out, there's been days where I'm just like, I don't want to talk to anybody, and he's like, hi, and he's like talking to them. I'm like, okay, and then they all come up to me, he like goes to families, and just in the middle, I'm part of this too, right? And that's just, that's Mason, yeah.
Wonder where he gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to say thank you for having the courage to come up here. But you see how natural this is? People are affirming this. This is God's gifting. Don't go crazy here. God's done this to you. Yeah, he's provided this, and you're recognizing God as doing that.
Yeah.
And you want to use that for him. Guys, you're going to see her around here. She's anxious to use that. She's not wanting to stay in the pew. Thanks for coming out of the bleachers this morning.
Yeah.
All right, you got it. See you at 12:30. Yeah. God does all these things. Grab your outline. Here it is. You experiment through doing. Try some difficult stuff. Some of you are leaders. I can see it in the room. The way you talk to people, you just come right out and say it. It's okay. Try it. You have compassion for them. Others have compassion in a different way. The service is over. You gravitate towards people. You get into a leadership position. You want to lead something. Some of you are great at teaching. Others great at serving. Some, the teen center, you're just behind the scenes. Maybe Matt would like to have you downstairs. You got some ideas, some decorating ideas. Matt's open. Guys, the sky's the limit in the church. Let God use you. And I'll turn around and recognize him. That's what I love about the complete part of Brenda's story, is the fact that this stuff isn't coming for me. God has restored me. And as a result, I want to give back to him. I just want to give back to him. And you know what? If stacking chairs is not her thing, she will know it right away. If, you know, it's working in the child care, she has a child. If working with children is not her thing, she will know it right away. She's going to feel these things by doing, by trying some stuff out, not being afraid. Examine your feelings follows that. Why? Because you're going to feel a certain way about it. When you do it, stop and become reflective. How did I feel about this? My buddy Dave's sitting over here. First time to ever paddle in a thing, you know? He's like, how do I feel about this? Sore. You know? Everything's on me, sore. But I liked it. So he didn't quit just because he's sore. He's got to work up those muscles again. He's like, I like this, right? You give it a shot. You examine your feelings. 3 to 6 months, somewhere in there. Don't quit. Some guys come to our men's ministry. They come to the women's ministry. And that night, the food sucked. Or the topic was boring to them. Or they were just having a bad day. And guess what? They quit. After one attendance, they quit. You've been there. You know what I'm saying. In the workplace, you just got this staff meeting. And that same person sits there. And for some reason, they don't apply themselves. Give it a couple staff meetings. Give it a couple tries. Just allow yourself to have some time to evaluate your feelings. Some of you might go, you know, I wasn't really up front. I'm not an upfront type person. There's 1,000 things in God's body of Christ to do behind the scenes that's not up front, more public than personal, or more personal than public. Either way, God is going to give you a gift that's based on your shape. And when you do it, you'll go, this is me. He's not going to give you a snake as his son or his daughter, something to cause you pain, as the verse says. He's going to give you the gift that fits you. Some of you might have the gift of faith. Happens every year. People go down to Haiti or YWAM, Mexico or Georgia, or with me, they go to Thailand. And you go to this village. Some of you have grown up in $500,000 homes. Maybe you've grown up in a gated community. You've got whatever you wanted. Your life is pretty much cruising. You go down to these third world environments, and all of a sudden, people are afraid to get out of the van, but you bust it open. Who cares what your past has been with all this? You want right in that third world environment. You go to an orphanage. You're working with 60 snotty-nosed kids. They're hanging all over you, and you love it. This is me. No matter your background, it's something about, there's something inside me. I want more time with these kids. I have never felt so alive than when I've been in this environment of poverty. I want this. So many of you have the spiritual gift of faith. Examine those feelings. This is it. Number 3 is you evaluate your effectiveness. How effective am I? This is one of the things the worship team deals with this. I love to sing. I can sing. I can hang. But you put a guitar and I play it, everyone leaves. All right? It's bad. It's really bad. So I have some gifts, and I have some that have not been developed, or they're just not gifts, okay? And evaluate your effectiveness. The church has to deal with that a lot, but guess what? We're never turning someone away, never. God will find your shape. We will find something. The body of Christ will believe, will show you, and they'll believe this gift. They'll see it, the evidence of it. The last one here is you expect confirmation from the body, and there it is. This person's got it. Oh, my gosh, she's there. This is a no-brainer. Brenda was just saying it. She's serving up these events, and people are going, you smile a lot. You're good at it. She's thinking, doesn't everybody smile a lot? No. It's because you're good at what you're doing. And you hear that. I love that story. I hope you hear this from me as I finish right now. Get out of the stands. Don't be a sitter. Don't waste your life sitting back. If you're a Christian, get in the game. Unwrap your gift. Discover it. Put it to use. Those of you in small groups, I want you to go back. I want you to say you're a small group Bible study leader. I've got questions. I don't have all the answers, but some of these scriptures I heard, they were doing something to me. Can you help me? I want to discover my giftedness, and I want more of this scripture. I want it to come alive. I'm not sure about everything, but will you help me? And talk to your leader. Stick with this series. We're designing a 301 class right now. Actually, we're putting together several classes that'll fall on one night, 4 hours, with a sweet dinner in between, that will take a 101 person that's received Christ and has no idea what's going on, to a person that knows who he is, follows him, and wants to know their giftings, all the way in between. Church is putting that together right now as we speak. It was the hottest topic this week. We want people to get where they're going. Take your gifts, combine it with what's the passion of your heart, mix it with your abilities. Look at what God has designed you to do. You will be so powerful. You will be so powerful. Your personality, your unique experiences. Come join us today in celebration of one that is doing that at 12:30 for baptism. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. for the people that are here. Thanks, you love us so much so you gave us these mysterious gifts, as this may sound, just mysterious. But they've shaped us for something great. And God, I know that there's nobody here that wants to waste their life. Thank you that we can make a difference by how we use our gifts. That you love us enough. And Lord, for those that are here that are seeking and they don't have a spiritual gift, God, I pray that you'll continue to leave clues in their life that might open up the window to a relationship with you. And if you are a seeker and you're sitting out there, I respect you. Keep seeking. Find out if God is who he says he is in his love letter, the Bible, that you might know his love, you might know the truth, that it'll set you free. And I thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.